Man, well, first, I'm still trying to get over being a little wrecked by worship. That song, "How Great Thou Art," was both my grandmothers, it was like their favorite hymn. And there's such power in our words. And that's what I want to talk about today is our words and how they matter to us. So, but some ground rules. So I know you're all muted out there, but I need to hear some amens, okay? Some praise the Lord's. So amen, praise the Lord. Okay, so as we're going through this, please participate. And there may be times when I'm asking you to kind of follow along and say something. Just say them with your words out loud right where you're at. We're all connected through the Holy Spirit. So anyway, but I'm excited today. And I want to start kind of with a question. Do you know where you were on March 20th, 2003? Some of you may not have even been born yet. So you were in heaven, but you know, those of us who were alive, do you know where you were on March 20th, 2003? And as I was thinking about that, and as you think about it, I know exactly where I was. On March 20th, 2003, I was standing in a command and control center in Bahrain, in southern Bahrain, and there was an invasion that had just started. It was a tremendous invasion, and it was an invasion, and that day marked a transition whenever our country and many other countries who were united together transitioned from something called Operation Enduring Freedom to Operation Iraqi Freedom, and we started participating in this thing of freeing a nation. And it was freeing a nation that was just wrecked by an evil tyrant. And the thing is that, you know, a decade earlier, we were in that same place dealing with that same evil tyrant. But something was different this time. Because there was actually words that were being spoken that shaped things that we're going to end this. This is not going to end until an evil tyrant is put, you know, in his place. And that evil tyrant, many of us know, was Saddam Hussein, and he was not a good man. You know, he was a persecutor and an oppressor. But the war started. I was with an aviation squadron. Our squadron was flying C-130s everywhere, and to answer everybody's questions, no, I wasn't the pilot in command, but I had a unique role that transitioned at a point a few weeks down. But I had the opportunity, because of my role, to take part in many flights as we were flying over Iraq. And as we would fly over Iraq, we would fly over these mud huts, and we would just look at these mud huts, and we'd be like, going, "Wow, what, you know, what the heck is that?" But about a week into that, there was this transition that took place. And this transition was, as we would fly some of the same routes or close, we would see these mud huts, but they would be flying these flags. And so I didn't really understand. We didn't understand, but we know as military people, sometimes we're supposed to report intelligence information back so that someone can dig into it and maybe provide us answers. And it was really interesting the answers that we got back. We took pictures. Pictures went up the chain. The flags were determined to actually be religious flags because the people in the southern part of Iraq had been oppressed for many, many, many years, and now they were able to express their religious freedom. We noticed this a couple of weeks into the war in the northern part, whenever we started seeing these flags, and come to find out they were the Kurdish flags. So you have these people who've been oppressed, but all of a sudden they receive freedom. And now they have an opportunity to do things that that they never thought that they might be able to do. So our thoughts of what mud huts were changed. And part of that changed in the way we began to think, and we began to talk about it, because it helped us as warriors understand that we just brought freedom to people, and we got a visual interpretation of it. So it was really, really neat to walk through that. And then as we walked through this, it really made me think, because Our words matter. So as we kick this thing off, it was evil words that brought that oppression and persecution, but it was words from our leaders in many countries that brought unity. So could everybody just say with me, unity, unity. Words also created a focus on a target of evil. And it's really, really significant when we think about that. It brought focus. Words also brought nations together. And at a time where we're at right now, what do we need? Nations coming together. And those words, for me, and I'm going to speak to you today with a little bit of a warrior's viewpoint on words. Words are used to help shape me in what I'm doing, not only on the battlefield, but in my life. And so words from our leaders start with something called commander's intent. So, and that commander's intent allows us, as those who are subject underneath that, to write operational orders. And those operational orders are basically circulated out so that as groups, we know and understand our part, and we can further refine our orders to what we need to execute. So commander's intent is amazing. And it's those detailed words that created these operational plans that brought an end to tyranny. Men on the hunt to find the evil one, and they found him and they captured him. And we know later he was tried and executed, and an evil tyrant was removed. Words that were written in operational plans, but we also as leaders would speak those words to those that were in our platoons or squadrons, and they knew what to execute. And so it's not only written word, but it's also spoken word. So I'm going to speak from that warrior perspective today. So Father, just open the eyes of our hearts to hear you. Open the eyes of our hearts to see you in new ways and to propel us forward into what you created us to be, Jesus, in your name. So we had this big operational order that we began to execute in 2003. But I want to introduce you to a new operational order for you. And you can read that. The word is prophet. And, of course, behind prophecy is the word. And we're great that we've got this wonderful written word of his. But we also have his rhema words, which are now words. And many people will talk about how that there's so many different levels to the scriptures and the word, his word, that if we press in, one scripture can mean something different to all of us. But yet it means the same thing to him in his heart. Words matter. And so as we begin to, you know, to dive through the words, there's a scripture in Amos that says, "Surely God does nothing unless he reveals things to his prophets." And I just want to say, every one of you is a prophet. I'm not talking about the office of prophet, but with Christ in you, we have everything that he is. There may be a time when you need to be a leader, an apostle, and say new things, or a prophet. You're hearing and you're seeing. And I just was so welcomed by Kate this morning and what she saw in a dream and what she spoke to us in pre-service prayer that set a tone for his spirit to be released. So if you could say with me, words matter. Words matter. There we go. All right. Yay. Yay. So Susan and I both in this time have really been trying to pay attention to what we see and what we hear. And there's the things that hold and come true is, number one, yes, our words matter. And beyond that, we've had such a sense of hope. Susan has had such a sense of hope being alive today, that this is not the end. that this is a beginning, and that hope is so alive today. And that hope we know is rooted and it's in Him. And because it's in Him, it's in us. And we just need to create a conduit to let more of that hope, like passing out the cards and courageous response. I mean, we are God's eyes and ears here on the earth. It's not that He doesn't know all and see all from heaven above, but He didn't create us to wait on Him to know all and see all and say, hey, go and do. He gave us eyes to see and ears to hear needs and those things that are out there. So it's time for us to open our eyes and open our ears in new ways and look for opportunities to be light and life to the world, because that's Jesus. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is Christ in us. So we're in a season of seeing and hearing. Our words matter, and hope is alive. And I just happened to be recently watching something, and it's a pastor who's a favorite of mine to watch and listen to, and his name's T.D. Jakes. He's down in Dallas area, and he was talking about the season that we live in. So let's talk about season for just a little bit. And the season that we live in is in a season of disruption. And as he was talking, he started talking about things have been so disruptive that people who didn't think they had time now have time. And things have been so disruptive that we can't do things the way that we normally did. I mean, we can't go to Costco and expect to get toilet paper. Has there ever been a time whenever we really thought that we couldn't go to Costco and get toilet paper? No, not tonight. I anticipate that Costco is going to have whatever I want, you know, whenever I want it. That's what I think. And so as we walk through that, he goes, we're in a time of disruption and we're not going to go back to normalcy. So I just want to say to you right now, if you think things are going to get back to normal, I'm sorry. Things are not going back to normal. There's going to be a new normal. And it's up to you and I to press in with His word, to press in with who He created us to be as seers and prophets. You have every instrument, every tool to hear and to see and figure out what is my role in what's going on right now. And it's really neat because there's going to be new normals, but that those new normals are going to be defined by us. And the reason they're going to be defined by us is because we get this opportunity to partner with Him and do new things. So set aside the old and press into what's new. Because right now, you have this amazing opportunity to sit before Him when you didn't have the time because you were busy driving to and from work or, you know, taking care of customers in one way. Now we have to rewrite the way we do it. Now at home, there's maybe two people taking care of kids instead of one. Or maybe it's transitioned where it's the other way, but God is still creating more time. And the other thing is that God will make time for you. That if you're not taking time, He can hit the pause button. And something as big as COVID-19 hits the pause button, not only for me and you, but for the world. And so we have this opportunity for Him to reveal secrets to us. And this is a time whenever disruptors thrive. So I'm one of those guys who loves to take those personality profiles. I recently taken one and I found out that I'm a daredevil. And so if you know me, you probably can begin to understand a little bit of that. But one of the other ones that I took a few years ago, it labeled me as a disruptor. So I was real excited when he was saying that, like, okay, this is a disruptive time. The disruptors are going to thrive and they're going to do new things. So I just want everybody to say right now, I am a disruptor. That's right. You are. You are a disruptor. You have so many tools that are at your side and in your arsenal that you can change the world. It doesn't take the president to change the world. And today, You have the ability to see, receive an idea from heaven, bring it to earth, that can change the landscape of how we're going to do things in our new normalcy. And it's really, really interesting that we begin to talk about, you know, new normals, because it's a really interesting time. He talked about how creatives thrive in this. This is a time to create. So if you're an artist, a filmmaker, a writer, you know, whatever other creative outputs, business is a creative output. Whatever your creative outputs are, being able to repair something faster than someone else, that's a creative ingenuity in operation. This is a time for the creatives to thrive and to grow and to press into him. And I just happen to live in a creative house because Susan is an amazing artist. And in that creativity, it releases things in the atmosphere here. So as you have this time to press in and do different things, you're releasing a spirit of creativity, of ingenuity and innovation in your atmosphere for you to receive something that can change the world. So we get to do things differently. We're doing church on Zoom. This afternoon, we're going to do a birthday party on Zoom for my daughter. She turned 18. It's crazy the world that we live in. It's crazy how we're changing things and how we have to do things. But we're doing it. It makes us think outside the box. You're doing it in your own house. You're changing things. And the main goal of this is that we cannot leave the same way that we entered in. If we choose to stay the same through this whole COVID-19 process and we exit the same way that we entered in, we've missed something. And that's called opportunity, because opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity is hope. Opportunity is you seeing a neighbor or a friend or a coworker who needs a card and giving them a card. I mean, even our military today, we don't fight wars the same way that we did 100 years ago or even 10 years ago. So it's really interesting. And we get this opportunity to rewrite things because we have some core beliefs in us in the military. And that core belief is centered around a philosophy that one life matters. And that I need to approach battle or whatever I'm doing so that I bring everybody back, nobody left behind. Now, we know that a result of war is that sometimes there are casualties, but it's our responsibilities as leaders and participants to do everything we can not to remain unchanged and come up with new strategies to execute. And I believe within this community of Mountain Song, within the community of believers worldwide, God is imparting to us strategies with our words and our united actions around the world to bring this to an end. We're participants along with him. It's not about just, Lord, do it. It's about how can I participate in it during this time. So to expand on the creative aspect of it, the military is actually writing new warfare strategies right now. Does anybody happen to know out there what the name of those new, what this new warfare is going to be called?
Mosaic.
Mosaic. I think a creative is somewhere in the military, whether in the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, whomever is in that, they're a creative. Because when you think about mosaic, you think about odd pieces that don't normally fit together, that come together to create a beautiful work of art. And I think that that is an incredible thing for our words and everything. So we're gonna rewrite rules. We're gonna rewrite strategies. We're gonna be new families. We're gonna do things differently. You're not gonna leave the same way you came in. And so for me, as I think through these things and that philosophy of how do we not leave anybody behind, a billion soul harvest. It may not look like the way we shape it in our mind, but you know what? It's a harvest and it's great. What do the workers look like? in that. I think they look like Matt. I think they look like Ron. I think they look like Ben, Susie, Susan, every one of you. Hope. And when I think about it, when I think about those things, for me, some of those things are what I call written in blood. And when I say written in blood, I look at this from a perspective of, if I go into a dangerous place, we have these dangerous place rules in the military, and they are there for us to serve, not only to survive, but for us to thrive and for us to defeat the enemy. So as I think of dangerous place rules, they're there for my survival, my family's survival. They're there to help me thrive and get through it. They're there so I can rewrite something that's going to save a life or help someone into the kingdom so that they can live forever. I mean, that's what we're about. We're here to be his light. We're here to let his light shine through us. And as we think through those things, it's kind of interesting, you know, to kind of frame that, because God used his words to frame us. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. We're created in his image and his likeness. But before there was blood, there was his breath. Because then he paused and he breathed. And when he breathed life into us. And that life is life abundant and all. And then we think about Ezekiel and words. Your word, I just want to drive the point in, is that your words matter. In Ezekiel, Ezekiel's words brought breath to the bones. But it wasn't Ezekiel's breath because he breathed over the bones. Ezekiel's words brought something from heaven down to earth that created impact here. Your words bring impact from heaven to earth. It allows God, in assignments and things that he's already written out there, to fulfill those assignments and create them. So, what do you think about words? Words matter. They contain the power of life and death. Words shape who we are. Words shape what we do every day. And the power of words, they say that if a negative word is spoken, that it can take 7 or more times the amount of positive words to overcome that. So if I spoke 1,000 negative words over you, it's going to take 7,000 positive words to offset that. We get the opportunity to speak those words of life over people that we come across every day on the street, because that ticker's working to set everything and bring it around so that everybody's got a perspective of who he is and is in relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, what about these words? And the people who know their God shall be strong, and they shall carry out great exploits. What does that mean to you? If I know my God, it makes me strong, not weak. Strong. And strength positions me to be able to do things for him that are mind-blowing. So I'm going to kind of bring this around and wrap it down with something else that I watched. And I just want everybody to say, there is power in my words. Put your hand on your heart and say, there is power in my words. So I'm watching Bob Jones talk about the perfect storm, and Bob Jones had this thing where he would always say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as I'm watching this and listening, he's talking about a time where he went into church and he delivered a prophetic word to leaders about changing their words, because the words that they were using weren't effective, believe it or not, against a flu outbreak. And it's the same, it's a flu outbreak that took place in 2003 when I'm in the battlefield somewhere else fighting a different fight. But he comes in there and he kept saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as we think about that, I love reading it. I just want to take a minute. I'm going to read this in some different translations. The Passion Translation. So go ahead. Let everybody know it. Tell the world how he broke through. And he delivered you from the power of darkness. And he gathered us together from all over the world. He has set us free. God's Word Translation says, let the people the Lord defended repeat these words. They are the people he defended from the power of the enemy. And as we walk through it, talking about Psalms 107, verse 2. But prior to 107, verse 2 is verse 1, which is, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy and love endure forever. How many times have we sang that? How many times have we repeated those words? And that psalm's the psalms of thanksgiving and deliverance. And sometimes I'm a worshiper. I get songs hung in my head. I was talking to Hope about this one, but I've had this song by Josh Baldwin hung in my head after this whole let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed is the name of the song. He led me out of the darkness. He brought me into his streams, rivers of living water. He turned my bitter into sweet. And all my burdens are lifted. You took the shackles off my feet. There's no sound louder than a captive set free. Can you just say that with me? There is no sound louder than a captive set free. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I mean, it's interesting. And when you look at the word so in Webster's as the definition, it talks about one of the definitions is conforming to the actual facts. So let's take a moment as we wrap this up to conform to the actual facts of who we are. I'm reminded of this old television show called Dragnet, where the detective would just say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts, sir. Some of you, Ted just showed his age by those of you who are smiling, or you've turned into that late night TV channel and you've watched Dragnet there. So. Let's talk about some facts. And if you would, as I say them, would you repeat these words over yourself? I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I'm created. You were created in his image and in his likeness. You are a warrior. Why? Because the Lord is a warrior. You are a warrior. I'm created to have a voice that can change events in this world. I'm created to do exploits. All of creation is anxiously waiting for me to be revealed as a son, as a daughter. All of creation is waiting for my revealing to the world. I'm created to hear him. I'm created to see in the spirit realm so that I can make declarations that will change the world. I'm created to follow him. I love how Chris Vallotton recently talked about that encounter that he had where it was like, kind of like, get out of the way, Ted, get out of the way, and just get in my footsteps and follow me. It speaks to me as a warrior because there's so many times when we're out there and we're marching from place to place, and we've got this drill instructor or platoon leader who's calling out a cadence, and he's saying, you're left, right, left. And what happens in that is I lose sight of the fact that I need to tell my left foot to move and my right foot to move. I begin to move in unison with a group of people. And unity is just the other part of this that is just so huge. We're going to be united together in this fight. We're going to create a mosaic that's going to be something. It's going to be beautiful, and it's going to impact people that are here. So I just want to leave you with this, is that take a moment this week and just pause and reflect. That dangerous place rules list for me has some things on it. And one of those things in it for me as a warrior is called cover and concealment. It's about me being hidden. And I will honestly tell you that Ted struggles with being hidden. It's something that God has worked on in me. And we have to wait for that moment of revelation. And we live in a world where it talks about, you know, your Instagram page, your followers, and all these things. But you know what? It's okay to be hidden. Because in Psalms, we know Joseph was hidden. And while he was hidden, the word prepared him to be who he needed to be when Pharaoh promoted him. It takes patience. I love that song. It's in the waiting. It takes timing. We have to know when to execute. Just because we get it today doesn't mean we execute it right now. Timing and execution. So it's time for us to unite and use our voice. Obadiah 21 says, "Then saviors," and it uses a small s and it's plural, "saviors, shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." Who are the saviors? I'm looking at them. Every one of us has it. Those who have been saved, as I was reading some notes, the word saviors is those who've been saved. And those who've been saved, guess what? You're the redeemed of the Lord. And it's time for the redeemed of the Lord to use their voice. It's time for you to use your voice. Be united with one another. So I just challenge you this week to do something differently. And you know what? There may be somebody out there today that doesn't know him. Somebody may be new, tying in. Hit the chat down there on the bottom. There's a private chat piece. You can send that to Ben or to Seth or someone in there in a private chat. Let them know. If you don't know him or you need to know him differently, there'll be ministry time at the end of this for you to reach out. So, Ben?
Ted, that's so good. Yeah. Can clap. Oh, that was amazing. Yeah.